Blog Talk Radio.
We need someone to be there, knowing they'll always care. Someone who lights your way each and every day. Doing what you love is everything, so we can celebrate the joy it brings. So much to protect in our lives. That's why Nationwide is on your side.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Oh,
Nigeria, so call 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time. It's been a while since I've spoken with you all. Life has consumed me. However, I am here with honor and pleasure to give you some business tips for the month of August. We're going to be discussing how to reverse financial consequences. I can say with accuracy that a majority of the Black community does not live the way we are ordained to be. We were kings and queens at one time, and when we came here to America and adopted the slave man mentality, it was now embedded in us to live paycheck to paycheck, robbing Peter to pay Paul. We wear our Sunday best. We buy the latest fashions, the latest trends, and we want to floss and flex in front of those who don't even like us in the first place. We see how some of the Black celebrities live. You know, they live the fabulous life. They have cars and Birkin bags and jewelry and bills and things like that, and we strive for that, and we go into debt. This generation and the those that are in debt is a new form of slavery. When you are in debt, it is a new form of slavery. We have the have, the have-nots, and the have not paid for what they have. So therefore, I'm going to give you three tips on how to reverse the financial consequences. And as a Christian woman, I'm going to give you the biblical principle because it has worked for me and my family. It has worked for a lot of my family members who are not in debt, who do not live above their means, who are living the abundant life that they are ordained to be. If you guys have a Bible, I'll be coming from 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7, where I'll be discussing a passage in the Bible and how to get out of debt. I'm also going to give you three tools on how to get out of debt and even give you the resources that I found this information that helped me get out of debt. So first things first, with the three tools. You want to give, you want to save, and you want to spend. Give. First things first, you want to give. You want to give back to God. And Cleflo Dollar said that, you know, you don't have to tithe and that's Old Testament custom and blah, blah, blah. However, I know that as an active tithe payer to my church, I give the 10% of my first fruit of my paycheck, and I am blessed abundantly. Malachi 3 and 10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there should not be no room to receive it. Meaning, he will bless you so much that you will have to give things away. He will make sure that everything that you touch will prosper. He will make sure that you will never go hungry. With the wave of the pandemic that hit us in 2020, I will say that my family has not missed a meal. We didn't wonder where our next paycheck was coming. We didn't wonder where our next meal was coming. My husband and I started a garden. We didn't have to buy any produce. And last year, we didn't have to buy any produce. We had so much food that it was pouring out of our refrigerator and our cabinets, piled up on our tables, that we had boxes to give away. Because we give 10% of our first fruit to our church. And our church is not the church that takes the money and pockets it. It goes into paying for the lights, the gas, the water, anything new that's needed for the church. It is to build up the church. Our pastor and the first lady shows us, the parishioners, exactly where the tithes and offering goes to. So if you go to a church where, you know, things aren't looking great in your church because of finances, you may need to consider where you fellowship at. But nonetheless, that's on God to deal with those spiritual leaders. But if you continue to give out of the abundance of your heart, trust me, he will maintain all of your finances. He will protect that 90. Next is you want to save. Before you spend your money, save your money. Now, there's no rule really on how much to save. Put away what you can, even if it's something small as $5, something small as $10, but save it. Before you spend it, save it, okay? Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10, honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruit and all of thine increase. So shall thy barn be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Proverbs 21 and 20, there is a treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spends it up. Meaning that if you store up what little bit of money at a time, just put a little bit of money up, you can put it in a savings account, you could do like Big Mama did in Soul Food, you put a rack in that TV, you could put it in your jar, put it in a drawer, put it in an envelope, whatever it is that you need to do to save that money, save that money. And don't even think about having it. Don't think about you can go back to it to buy snacks, cookies, junk food. Just save that money. Don't even look at it as a rainy day money. Just put it up, okay? Because it's so responsible to save. It is your responsibility parents, to have money for your grandchildren, something they can fall back on. Because, of course, what happens when, God forbid, you pass away and we can't bury you? Okay, now you become a debt to your children. You become a debt to your grandchildren. You become a debt to your caregivers. You dead become a debt. And that's not flashy. That's not cool. So it's so important for you to save your money. And as mentioned, I understand after that paycheck hit and after you look at what you got to take care of, and you, it may look like you got to rob Peter and pay Paul, but if you do the first things first, which was to give, the second is to save, trust me, that rest of that 90% of that money is going to be well taken care of. And the third point is to spend. Spend with a plan. This is God's plan, not your plan, not your accountant's plan, not your mother's plan, your father's plan, but spend with a plan. Proverbs 21:5 says, the thought of the diligent tends only to be plenty, but everyone that is haste is only to want. Don't be quick to spend it, okay? We understand you got food, you got bills, we got toiletries, we got household. I mean, especially if you're a homeowner, you got to take care of the lawn. You got to take care of it. Say your sink is broken, you got to fix the pipes. If your roof needs done, you got to fix the roof. We completely understand that. But if you spend it wisely with a plan, the Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, Philippians 4:19. So it's completely okay to not work. You don't want to worry about it, but understand that once you do the first two, he will supply your needs. And I will get into more after a track by our legendary DJ, Brother O.
I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days, and some lonely nights, but when I look around, yeah, think things over. You know what? All of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low. I can hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord, why so much pain? But he knows what's best for me. Although my weary eyes, they can't see. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. God has been so good to me. Have you been good? He's been good to me. More than this whole world, all you could ever be. He's been so good. Tell me. You know what he did? He It dries all of my tears away. Turn my midnight into day. So I'll just say thank you, Lord. I've been lied on, but thank you, Lord. I've been talked about, but thank you, Lord. I've been misunderstood, but thank you, Lord. You might be sick, body racking with pain, but thank you, Lord. The bills are due, don't know where the money coming from, but thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want. I won't complain. It dries. Every one of my tears away. My midnight in today. So instead of complaining, I learned how to lift them hands, look up toward heaven, and say, thank you, Lord. Tell him, thank you, Lord. 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 I won't complain. I won't complain. I know it's time to go home, but I won't complain. I used to, but I won't. I could, but I won't. I won't. I won't. Say yes, say yes, say yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. I won't. Wait a minute. Some of y'all been complaining. Some of y'all been mumbling. Some of y'all been grumbling. But y'all are thank God for bringing you this far. You ought to thank God for bringing you from a mighty long way. And you're all right. And you're all right. You ought to stand on your feet and praise the Lord.
This is a product of WBNN. This is Strictly Business, and I am your host, D. Davis. We are on the air from Lagos, Nigeria. Please call 516-453-1133 and press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. And we are discussing how to reverse financial consequences. We all have been there where we see something that we like, the shiny toy syndrome. We pay our bills, we put a little money up, and we see something, we chalk it off as I deserve it. I worked hard for it, and there's really nothing wrong with that. It really isn't. But when you're out of the will of God, you're not going to be able to live the abundant life that you are ordained to live. And I'm a living witness of that. I can share with you so many stories where I thought I did it correctly and I didn't, where I looked at my checking account and it was a negative balance, and I couldn't understand how. I couldn't understand where my money went. I've been in situations where I had to borrow money to even pay my mortgage because I wasn't disciplined enough to follow the plan that God has for me. And as a Christian, I'm not going to sit here on this radio show and speak to the listeners about how to build wealth, build your business, start a business without giving you the principles that helped me to where now I can live the abundant life. I can proudly say I have designer bags, I have diamonds, I have a beautiful home, I have money in the bank. I have a handsome husband. We have a beautiful daughter because we put these principles into action. And this is the will of God concerning you. So we're talking about give, save, and spend. First is you want to give your 10% to your local church. If you have a local church, give to where you're being taught at. Give to a charity. Give to a small business. Just say, hey, I want to bless you. I want to just put something in your pockets to watch your business grow, especially if it's doing well in the community. But pray on where you're supposed to give that. If you do have a local church that you attend to on a weekly basis and you're being taught there's some spiritual values and spiritual truths, then give your 10%. And I understand if you're kind of murky on what the pastor and the spiritual leaders are doing with that, but let God worry about that. You do what you're required and watch God bless you. Because if they're doing something foul and wrong, God will deal with them. Next, second step is to save. Put a little money up. Before you spend anything, put a little money up. Whether it's $5, $10, $100. Just put a little money up to save. You can put it in any type of account that you feel safe with, that you know that you won't go and grab that debit card and touch it. Put a little money up because that will keep you from falling into debt. Then the third step is you go ahead and that's when you spend it. You buy your food, you take care of your food and your shelter. That means your rent, your mortgage, water, light, and gas, if your streaming service, your internet, things like that. You take care of that. And then here's the thing. It's not about not having nice things because God said, I will give you the desires of your heart. But it got to be to a point where after he supplies your needs, you are completely content. Where you don't need nothing else. You ever met somebody who just don't need anything, but you want to do something for them, a birthday gift, a Christmas gift, Father's Day gift, Mother's Day gift, but they have everything. They don't need anything because they're content. You want to get to a place where you just don't need anything. And if you buy it, it's because you want it. That's because you did everything you're supposed to do responsibly, but now you just go out and get what you want. These are the people that are living well. They have houses and cars because they did exactly what they want. He said in Deuteronomy 8 and 18, he said, but thou shalt remember thy Lord thy God, for is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as of this day. He promised Abraham that I will bless, make thee a great nation. Jesus said in the New Testament, I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. And of course, we know that is salvation, but it's also to live a prosperous life. You don't have to be in a millionaire status to have an abundant life. You could be working at McDonald's, Burger King, and have an abundant life because, again, your bills is paid. You're content. You got good credit. You have a little bit of stock. You have a little bit of money in the bank. You can come home and just sit and enjoy your family, enjoy some quiet time. That's the abundant life. And people today have it mixed up on what the real quality of life is. And again, I had to learn the hard way, and I'm glad I learned it because it taught me and it helped me to be more responsible where I could be a blessing to others who are in need, not just giving them a little love offering, as I like to call it, but giving them tools and tips that can help them get out of debt. I'm going to read you a passage from 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7, and I'm going to break it down to you on how you can reverse financial consequences. Now there is a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. So this is a woman, and her husband apparently was a man of God. And he died, and he left him some debt. Now think about this, especially in the black community, where bills weren't paid. There was some debt, and he just kind of left the woman just to figure it out. And she probably didn't know what first thing to do because he handled everything. He probably robbed Peter to pay Paul. He probably put a little bit here, a little bit there just to keep their heads above water. But now he's dead. The creditors want their money, and she has no money to give him. Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what do you have in thy house? She said, thy handmaiden have not anything in thy house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, and even empty vessels, borrow not a few. So he says, what do you have in your house? She said, I don't have anything but oil. But he said, go to your neighbors and borrow some pots and pans, some vases. Don't just get one. Get as many they can give you. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and thy sons, and shall pour out into all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside which is full. She went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. So he told her, he gave her instructions. Once you get these vessels, these vases, these pots, these pans, you shut the door and you pour the oils in every single one. One of the things I liked about this passage is that he made her shut the door. The reason why he made her shut the door, because God's going to take care of you in secret. He's not going to make a public how he provides for you. I remember when my daughter was 10, 11 years old and she was running track, and I was a single parent, and I had my house and I was on a fixed income, and my cousin's mother had came into the house and she saw my home. My home was beautiful. My home is still beautiful. And she was just shocked. She says, how are you doing all this? And I didn't really understand the question. I said, what do you mean? She says, how are you doing all this? And I had no choice to say, God is keeping me. I didn't make it public and shout to neighbors, God is keeping me, God is keeping me. But she came into my home and saw the abundance. I'm going to continue with this passage after a caller. Caller, thank you very much for calling. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, girlfriend, it's Jerry Petito.
Hi, my girlfriend. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I've been away for a little bit, started some new jobs and ventures, but it kept me away, but it hasn't kept me from loving my family and supporting my family. Thank you so much for calling.
So I'm listening to this beautiful show tonight. You know, everything you're saying is so spot on. I mean, I don't have to tell you that. You know, I had a conversation recently with someone, and it was about what you're talking about. Because, all right, so they said something to me like, how come you're always okay financially? And I said, the only thing I can tell you is God has always, always, always made a way. And it could be something so silly. It could be ridiculous. Something happens, and the next day, everything's fine. Like, I that's all I can say. It's God.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Like, it blows my mind. And it's
yes.
not just about the mighty dollar. It's not. It could be about anything. Right. It could be about anything that we're struggling with or something's happening or we, you know, whatever it is, right? And then the
right.
next day, everything's fine. I've experienced this my whole life, and not because I'm this great person or perfect, none of that. I am a sinner just like everybody else, but I'm faithful with my prayers. I'm faithful with my relationship with God. I'm faithful with wanting others to come to Jesus. To God, he's going to be faithful right back.
Mm-hmm. That
you
is
know?
So true. I'll share the story with you and the others. When my when I had my daughter, I was not in a very happy situation with her father, my ex-husband. We barely had food, and she was a big baby, ironically. She was 3 weeks early. She was a big baby. And every time she blinked, of course, babies, they grow out of clothes. And from the age of 3 months up until the age of 10, Jerry, just honest to goodness, from 3 months to age of 10, I had yet to buy clothes because every time I would think she's getting too big for her onesie or a pair of pants or shorts or dress, God always sends someone with, I mean, bags upon bags of clothes.
Wow.
To bless me. And they were nice clothes. And they were, and here's the thing, they were used clothes in such great condition. This is my church family. And God was blessing them because they were blessing me. And because I've been faithful, you know what I mean? So it was up to the age
right.
of 10. By the age of 10, God said, all right, now you got a little money in your pocket. You can go buy her some clothes. And I had the nerve to fuss because she was still growing like a weed. I said, I want to spend $30 on a dress and she grew out of it in 2 weeks. You know what I mean? But still,
wow.
I didn't have to buy anything. That's the power of giving. You know what I mean? And then the thing was, I was able to save money. You know what I mean? So when the time came for me to have to now purchase her clothes, her shoes, I had the money. And that's the power.
Amazing.
Yes, ma'am.
It's amazing. Wow. Okay, so God is so good. Can I share with you who my next guest is going to be? It's really cool.
Absolutely.
My show was last Tuesday, so 4 weeks from the past one, not this week, the last week. It's
uh-huh.
Benedito King, Benny King's son.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that cool?
That's very nice. So, I'm very excited for me.
But, you know, listen, rumor has it this next song is going to be an incredible song, and it's actually probably Brother O's testimony. And, you know, I've always cherished my interviews with Brother O because his story is fascinating. I just had to say that. But you know what, girlfriend? God is good, and you are faithful, and I love this show tonight, and you have blessed me continuously, especially tonight, and I love you, and God bless you.
Love you too, Jerry. Thank you so much for calling, and we have a track by the legendary DJ, Brother O.
we're gonna be caught by the waves and the current. The sea so fierce, but in the word of God, I've got an anchor, and it keeps me steadfast and unmovable despite the tide. But if the storm don't cease, and just in case the wind keep on blowing in my life, my soul that I can hear in the Lord, my soul, my soul.
This is a product of WBNN, and this is Strictly Business, and I'm your host, E. Davis. We are on the air all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Call 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Ngozi Chime Multimedia. And I just want to thank you all for listening. Happy Thursday to everyone. And we are discussing reversing financial consequences. We talked about give, save, and spend. Give 10% to your local church or to the church that you belong to, your tithe. The 10% of your tithe is the first fruit of your paycheck. Make $100, you give $10. You make $1,000, give $100. God will handle the 90. As long as you stay within his plan and the will of God, he will stretch that 90. If you don't belong to a local church, give to your local charity of your choice, and be led by the Holy Spirit. Almost charity to give. There's so many charities. There's for children, after school funds. There's, of course, for cancer researches. There's all types of charities. There's even, for, say, the local food banks. There's the local farmers market. And if you don't want to give to a charity, give to a small business. Say, hey, you know, I see you starting the small business in your neighborhood. I just want to just pour into you. I want to invest into you something that you're giving it back. You're putting it back. Watch God handle the 90. Next is you want to save it. Save a portion. You don't have to save 10%. Even if all you have to save is $5, just put it up. There's so many types of ways to put it up. What I like to do is I'm connected to Credit Karma. I put a little bit of money in my Credit Karma to help build my credit. I put money in my Venmo account because I don't use it unless I am actually purchasing, doing business transactions. But I put that money up. I put it in my savings account. I don't even want to see that money because I myself am guilty of shiny toy syndrome. I like pretty things. My family calls me bougie and I'm high maintenance, so I know me. I got to put that money up immediately. And then you spend. You pay your bills. You pay your food and your shelter. That's your light, gas, your rent, your mortgage, your water. You take care of all that. And God will make sure that you are completely taken care of, because the Bible says in the New Testament, he shall supply all of your needs, not some, all of them, okay? So We were talking about 2 Kings 4:1-7, and we learned that there was a woman that became a widow, and her husband left her some debt, and the creditors were coming to collect. And more likely, her son was going to have to work that debt off, because she did not want her sons going into slavery. When you're in debt, you are now a slave to the debtor. You have to work to pay it off. That's why a lot of people don't go back to school. They don't want to be a slave to paying back the student loan. That's why a lot of people don't like to borrow money, because that person's going to come back and get their money, or they won't sleep well. You know, can I borrow $100? Sure, here's $100. Pay me back next week. And that whole week is going to be a long week, because you know that $100 is going to come out of your paycheck, whether you give them the $400 or if you make a payment plan. So now we see, we get the instructions from the prophet Elisha that said, go to your neighbors and borrow vases, pots, pans, because all she had was oil. He said, what do you have in your house? She said, all I have is oil. I don't have anything else. All I have is oil. He said, go to your neighbors, borrow vases, pots, pans. Don't just ask for one. Ask for as many as they can lend you. Borrow them. And she did that. And he told her, he said, when you do that, close the doors, and you and your son fill up every vase and pot full of oil. And that's what she did. And it came to pass when the vase were full that she said to her son, bring me yet another vase. He said to her, there is not a vase more in the oil state. And it came to pass and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay back the debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. Meaning, now you got some oil. Sell it. Because, of course, this is the day where I need the oil to cook. They need the oil to light their kerosene. They need the oil to do whatever it is they need to do. So they need the oil. This is a great need. Look around your house. If you are in financial debt, if you've got credit card debt, you got some bills that, you know, you're like, I got to put some money down on these bills, or I'm going to get a shut-off notice. If you're even out of work and you got it, and you're just not trying to do a 9-to-5, but you know you got to make some money, look around your house. I guarantee you have something that you can sell. I am a published author. I published 29 books. I published 3 journals. I published, and 8 of those books are mine. I have books to sell. I have merch to sell. We have tote bags. We have mugs. We have book bags. I can sell some product to get my family out of debt. How do you do that? In the days of social media, you Google how to sell, how to reach out. I see everybody on Facebook posting simple memes, simple gifts. What you need to do is go into that messenger box and hit up everyone and say, how you doing? I need to sell this product. It is only such and such dollars. Okay? And here's the thing. Listen to wisdom. When the man of God gives you instruction, listen. I knew a woman that had a book, and she was given instruction on who to reach out, where her market is, and she didn't listen. Her book is not selling. She didn't listen. She did it her way, and her book is not selling. And then she wonders why it's not selling. Listen to wisdom. Don't go to the man of God and ask for advice, and then don't listen. You're wasting his time. You're wasting your time. Caller 2, thank you for calling. Please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, calling from the 4th Street Bully side of Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just tapping in, you know what I mean? I'm enjoying the show. And, of course, these things are very, very important for us to understand, that the charitable things that we do, you know, first of all, we should do these charitable things in privacy, you know what I'm saying, wherever the people is giving these things away, give it to the person in privacy, you know what I'm saying? We don't make announcements. You know what I mean? And then first and foremost, people, we need to know that that's these charitable actions here. These are investments for yourself, where things may come in abundance for you. You know, where these are fountains. These are kind of like water fountains where, you know, you put something in it and then something sprouts out. It's like putting a seed in the ground. You put a seed in the ground and then flowers come out. Or you put a seed in the ground and fruit come out or vegetables come out. So these are the same methodologies in how you apply this way of thinking to when you give your charitables. You know what I'm saying? And another thing, people, there's a tremendous narration in regards to mankind, in regards to when a person approaches the grave. It was said that three things follow a person to the grave. You know what I mean? But only one will remain. The first thing that follows a person to the grave is their wealth, and then their family, and then their deeds. Only the deeds will remain. So if you know what this means, meaning this, you can pile your riches high as the mountains. You know what I'm saying? But when it says fixed time to taste the death or to go to the outer barzakh, you know what I'm saying? The hereafter, you know what I'm saying? You know, the place until the day of judgment, you know what I'm saying? You want to make sure your scale is balanced off in the correct manner. You want your deeds to be be accountable for you. You want your deeds to get you to the next level of the situation. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So remember,
right,
people, three things follow you to the grave. First thing is the wealth. Second thing is the family. And the third thing is your deeds. You know what I mean? Your actions. Where only one of those things will remain, and that's your deeds. The wealth and the family, they walk off. Once you're in the grave, once you're in the dirt, they walk off. So remember these things, folks. You know what I'm saying? Don't hoard your wealth and let the moths get to it and all that kind of crazy stuff and all that, man. And don't be being a spendthrift, neither. Wasting your wealth on extravagance when you can be giving things to people who may need something. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, calling from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? We here to take back the wilderness. You know what I'm saying? We here to build the bricks up and stand the sticks up. Check your satellites.
I got you. Thank you so much for calling. So when is your next show?
That's the next question. That's a good question, because here's the thing. I've been interning here. You know what I'm saying? And I'm very excited on when the next show would be. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully
you got
me. You got me, brother.
Listen, I already know where the next show is going to be. It's going to be next Wednesday, the 10th of August. Let's get it. You know what I mean? Check your satellite.
August, there you go, folks. Check your satellites out here. Clever One in the building.
Thank you so much for calling. I definitely appreciate that. Much love to you. All right, we are on the air from Lagos, Nigeria. Please call 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. This is a product of WBNN, and this is Strictly Business, and I'm your host, E. Davis. I am your business analysis. Anybody that knows me, I don't hold idle conversations. I'm strictly business, as they say. I'm a business owner. I'm CEO and founder of Writer's Block Publishing, LLC. We publish independent authors for free. We have published 29 books as of October of 2021. And of those 29 books, I have 8 under the pen name Davis. And tonight I was just led to share ways of reversing financial consequences. There's a TV series on Netflix called Hashtag Black AF by Kenya Barris, and he is the creator of Blackish, and it is a great show where he tells you and gets into why he spends the way he spends, he thinks the way he thinks, and it's all because of slavery. And old money versus new money, the flashiness, the mindset, and we definitely get it. We laugh at it. Even if I'm a big fan of the TV series Blackish. It gives us a lot of historical facts about the Black community, about the Black culture. And one thing they did talk about in the show, maybe the earlier seasons, was money. The main characters, Tracy Ellis Ross and Anthony Anderson played, they make light on it and kind of laugh at it, but the way they spend money, because they're flashy, they do have money. They want to live the American dream because they are Black and they earned it. They're 40 acres and a mule. all that good stuff, but it means nothing if you have nothing. Like the gentleman on the caller said, when you die, your money doesn't go with you. You're in the grave. You may have a nice casket. You may have a flashy suit, you know what I mean, that people can view you in. You might even have, you know, get built, you know, buried in a mausoleum, but you're dead. You're not going to spend that money. And when you leave it to your family, they can war over that money. I mean, ask Anna Nicole Smith. We know that she married that old man for his money, but when he left her a portion, his family was like, absolutely not. She spent the remainder of her years in court trying to get that money. All right, and that's the whole point. You can't take that money with you, so give. Help somebody else out. And but now here's the thing. Use discernment when you want to help somebody. Don't just be throwing your money away because there's people who just don't appreciate, you know what I mean? But use discernment. Like I said, give to your local church. I belong to a church, and every time I get a paycheck or if I sell a book or any type of writer's block merch, I'd give it 10%. Even if I sold, say, two journals for $10, okay, that's $20. That $2 is going into the tithe bucket. Don't think it's only $20 that $2 won't matter. God sees that $2. He said in the Bible, in the New Testament, if all you guys are just tripping on because I'm coming out the Old Testament, he said in the New Testament, Jesus said there was people giving their offerings, the scribes and Pharisees was walking around with their chest puffed up, giving a big money, but he honored the woman who had her widow's mite, meaning all she had was a penny. He honored her because she gave her last. So just because you know, you make a couple dollars off of something you sold, $30, and all your tithes, your 10% is $3, put that $3 in there. Trust me, God will make that because he's going to bless you. He's going to give it back. He said in the book of Luke, he said, give and shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and runneth over. So men give unto your bosom. They will pour into you. They're like, oh, I see you. I see you hustling. I see your business. I see you trying. I want to help you. They'll give you free services. They'll knock your door and feed you. With the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. So he's going to make sure you're okay. He says, I never seen the righteous forsaken on his seed begging bread. And I have to say this as a testimony. When my ex-husband and I separated and divorced, I was living off of $125 every 2 weeks. I was paying a $1,000 mortgage because he messed up my money. And I let him because I was in this goofy marriage. I was trying to be that submissive wife. When enough is enough and he moved out, all I had was $125 every 2 weeks to feed me and my daughter. Because of the job I had, technically I made too much money to qualify for any government assistance. I didn't get cash, stamps, or nothing. My daughter was a growing child. I couldn't afford sweaters, so I had learned how to crochet to make her cute little ponchos real to school so she don't get cold. So as I was making these ponchos, people saw me making them when I was at work on my break. So they was asking for their kids for birthday gifts. I was making blankets. I live in the city of Pittsburgh. Everybody and their mother wanted Steeler colors. I was making so much money. I guarantee you, I didn't worry about anything. And when it seemed murky, when it seemed like, you know, the pantry was running low, when it seemed like, you know, I didn't have enough soap, when it seemed like I didn't have enough toilet paper, God always sent a job or some money coming my way. My daughter and I never went hungry. Those years I was divorced and separated from my ex-husband, my daughter and I never missed a meal. If anything, we gained weight. And thankfully, I remarried in 2016 to a beautiful man of God, and he has his own business. And again, we have yet to see a dry day, even when it looks murky, because we still give. If we don't have money or resources, we have time to listen and give advice. What's in your pantry? What's in your home that you can give? You're sitting on it. And as mentioned, when you seek wise counsel, when you ask for that advice, don't do what you want to do and do it your way. You got to stay in the will of God. Track. We have a track by the legendary Brother O. We are on the air from Lagos, Nigeria. Press 1 to call 516-453-1133. Press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Dozy Time Multimedia. And I am your host, G. Davis. This is a product of WBN. I'm just so excited that I was able to share with you these principles that I have, that I am particularly adamant about, that I have used and still using on reversing financial consequences. Give, save, and spend. And it's so important, especially in our community. We have to do better. We really do. This is one. This is the age of social media. This is the age of business building, brand building. There's so many tools and resources out here that can help you do it. All you need is to follow instructions, and God will handle the rest. Trust me when I say, those who follow me on Facebook, E. Davis, my name is Ebony Dawn Starks. Follow me, message me, and I'll share my story with you, because I've been in situations where I didn't know what's going to happen, not necessarily the next day, but the next hour. It is extremely, extremely important to follow these principles so you can reverse financial consequences. And you don't, it's not about living rich. It's not about living that life, that glamorous life, having and Maybachs and Maseratis and Benzes and that life and private jets and, you know what I mean? But it's all about making sure that you eat tomorrow, making sure that you have a place to stay tomorrow, because you are literally sitting in your home on resources that can save your life. Those are my final thoughts, and we have a dozy time.
Well, first of all, I'm so proud of you tonight, E. Davis. I mean, just, you know, not to use this word loosely, but I'm talking about in broadcasting. Your authorship tonight was outstanding. You shared something with the listening audience about, you know, where you were in the circle and how important it was for you to try to maintain and to find things in your own home to save your life, to save your child's life. And God, you know, has blessed you with a wonderful husband, a grown daughter now that's self-sufficient, even though she still leans on mom a little bit, but all of us lean on mom, no matter how rich we get, still mom is the richest treasure you have. So I'm very proud tonight of this show. Thank you so much, E. Davis. Tomorrow night, you haven't heard nothing yet. You know, E. Davis wanted to meet you tonight to do a outstanding soundtrack, and I went back to the times of my father's pastorship or pastorate, and you know these songs, you know us as people go through a lot, and those songs got us over, man. You know, my soul is anchored. You could have went through something, or as a child you might not pass your grade, or you know, things are going on and you need teas or whatever, and you need deliverance. You know, or you're in gangs like I was, and you need deliverance. My soul has been anchored, even if the storms don't cease. So a lot of times we pray and just believe, and by faith, we're looking to the shore, like Douglas Miller was saying tonight. You know, we're looking for that sunny shore. But if the storm doesn't cease, are you willing to stay anchored in your faith? Tomorrow night, another man is going to come on here and talk about that. And he's been doing it since 2019. The Reverend Pastor Kevin Perry and the work is done. Tomorrow night, 9:30 Eastern. Daylight time right here at WBNN. And of course, we have the advertising tool and Ghosty Time Multimedia. We're at Pinterest and the wonderful Twitter and the wonderful Instagram at @Ghosty_time as well as Ghosty, you know, all around the world, right? All the limited Ghosty Facebook. Kenny Collins is just so wonderful program tonight. Ole de lay, thine goes with mine, gmail.com. And I am your mother and father's favorite producer. Ola W. Malay, and goes and saying good night and love. To all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio, support us on a constant basis. From this date today, I got 2 more months before I will be officially on internet radio with the help of Miss Ricky R. Jones for 10 years. That's way before Beverly Nation, way before Damon Network, and of course the amalgamation of WBNN. So shout out to Ricky R. Jones. Love you, girl. And what we started, man, wow, look at this. Now back to the wonderful business analyst, E. Davis, for the next 3 minutes as we go on the program.
Thank you so much, Big Brother. I do appreciate your words of encouragement. It's been, I'm not going to say a stressful month and a half, but the physical and the mental stability has definitely been trying, and it is my goal to be more vocal, more present now that I'm getting ducks in a row. However, it is important that we apply financial principles to our daily life, stay in the will of God, because God wants us to live a blessed life, not always a rich life, but a blessed and prosperous life. And he wants us to give. If he gave his life, his son, what's wrong with giving our time and a little bit of our resource to help someone else, to save someone? And again, it's also important that you heed wise counsel. It is also important that you focus on the will of God, because if you're living in debt, you are outside of his will. You are completely outside of his will. And I'll just say that anyone that calls and asks me what to do, I'm going to tell you. And here's the thing. I'm an example. I'm a witness. I've been there. Like I said, I do have the shiny toy syndrome. I'm not ashamed to admit it, but all my bills is paid. I sit on labels. I rock Louis. I rock Gucci. So there's nothing wrong with loving nice things, but take care of your business first. Because what it does is that he'll make sure that you got it. And I have Birkin bags. I have all that. I'll take a picture and show you. And it's not about me bragging right now. It's because I'm in his will. And these are my desires. And the thing is, because I was content having a little purse, he blessed me for people to pour into me. And like I told our beloved sister, Jerry Petito, my daughter's 22 years old now. So for 10 years, that's a little bit less than half her life right now. I have to buy her not one outfit, because I was in his will. And now that she's self-sufficient and she's doing her, like Big Brother O said, she, you know, leans on me a little bit. She pays her rent. She takes care of her bills. And she's living a prosperous life because she's following the same principle. You ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and God bless you.